Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Mem Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asa family in honor of their parents Yosef and Norma Asa. Hashem Alehem Yichyu. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Rishon. Shover, I'm sorry. We are starting on Kuf Mem He on the bottom line. Bepenema Ovde Kochavim Mezohamim. So the Gemara had a question. They asked Rabbi Yohanan, why are the Goyim considered spiritually impure? So he answered, Shelo Amdu Al Har Sinai. Because they did not stand at Har Sinai. What does that mean? Shebisha'a Sheba Nahash Al Chava. So Gemara says, when the Nahash, the snake, had relations with Chava, which means that she tells us that not only did the snake give Chava advice to eat from the tree, but from the pasuk that says Hanahash Hishiani, so they learn from the word Hishiani, it's the language of Nisuin, of marriage, to show that the snake actually was had relations. So Sheba Nahash Al Chava Hitil Ba Zuhama. So he brought into her, he put into her a certain impurity, a certain zuhama, a spiritual impurity. Yisrael she'amdu al Har Sinai paska zuhamatam. When the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, that zuhama, that spiritual impurity that was already in Hava, that was transferred to the subsequent generations, it left at the foot of Sinai when we stood there. It's interesting to point out that the Gemara doesn't say when we received the Torah. It says just by standing at Har Sinai, paska zuhamatam, the zuhama went away. That might be the explanation in the Haggadah of Pesach. When we say the Dayenus, we say Ilu kerebanu lefne Har Sinai velo natananu et haTorah Dayenu. We say, you know, God, it would have been enough just to be standing at the foot of Sinai, even if we didn't get the Torah. Now, what would be the purpose just to stand at the foot of Sinai without receiving the Torah? Based on this Gemara, we see that since it was paska zuhamatam, so there was a spiritual impurity that was taken away from us at that time. So that was already worth it just for that. The Gemara says, Ovde kochavim shelo amdu al Har Sinai. But the Gentiles that did not stand at Har Sinai, lo paska zuhamatam. So their spiritual impurity is still with them. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav HaBered Rav HaRav HaSheh, Gerim Mai. So how are you going to explain converts? Because the converts did not stand at Har Sinai, seemingly. And therefore, when they convert to Judaism, seemingly they should still have the zuhama of the Nahash. So the Gemara says, Amar le, afagav de'inu lo avu, mazalayu avu. Which means, even though they were not at Sinai, literally their mazal was at Sinai. Some want to learn the mazal means their neshamot were at Sinai. Some say, no, it's really not the neshama, but it's some aspect of their being was already at Har Sinai. And how do we know that even though they weren't there physically, there was certain aspect of the Gerim that were at Sinai? Because the Pasuk says, Dechtiv, Et asher yeshno po emanu omed hayom lefne Hashem Elohenu, Ve'et asher enenu po. The Pasuk talks about those that were physically there at Har Sinai, omed standing, and those that were not there. What does it mean, not there? Meaning, physically they weren't there, but there was a representation by their mazal. That's referring to the Gerim. Now that she tells us that just like those that stood at Har Sinai were healed from all their physical ailments, for example, all the blind people became cured, all the lame people became cured, so spiritually standing at Har Sinai also was a cure for all the spiritual ailments. The Gerim that were there in mazal, either in spirit or in some aspect, so that already healed their souls in order that eventually when they were going to convert, they would not have that zuhama. Ufliga derbi Abba Bar Kana. This that we said, that the zuhama of Am Yisrael stopped at Har Sinai, so this is arguing on Rabbi Abba Bar Kana. Damar Abba Bar Kana. Ad shlosha dorot lo paskazu ama abotenu. So the Gemara says it took three generations to get rid of the spiritual impurity from our forefathers. Avraham olidit Yishmael. So the first generation had to purify itself. So the Zohama came out in Yishmael, which was Avraham's son. Yitzhak olidit Isav. And Yitzhak had a son Isav, and the Zohama went through him. Yaakov olid yud bet shevatim shlo yabahem shum dofi. Until Yaakov came, and all his sons, his 12 shevatim, were all tzaddikim. There was no dofi, there was no impurity, there was no falsehood in them, meaning it took three generations. So according to Rabbi Abba, he's learning that the Zuhama stopped many years before, even before Har Sinai. Already by Yaakov Abinu, the Zuhama of Am Yisrael was no longer. Mishnah. Shover Adam et ha-havit lechol emena grogrot. We're talking about a person over here on Shabbat that has a havit. A havit is a barrel, and it's filled with grogrot. It's filled with dates, and these grogrot over here, he wants to get them out of the figs. He wants to get the figs out of the barrel. So what does he do? He takes a saif or a sakin, that's like a knife or a spear, and he wants to cut through the barrel in order to make an opening, in order to get the figs out. So the Mishnah says, Shover Adam et ha-havit. He can break the havit open, lechol emena grogrot, in order to eat the grot. Ubilvad, so long as shelo yitkaven la'asot keli, that he doesn't have kavana to make a keli, meaning if he intends to make a nice opening, that she says petach na'eh, then already is considered like kibbe patish. He's adding the final touches. He's making the hole. However, if he just breaks it open arbitrarily, not in a nice way, just to get the goods out, so that's right. It's not considered that he's making a hole, and therefore it's not considered fixing the keli, and therefore it's going to be permissible. And the Gemara will explain. Again, this over here is talking about where you're being mekalkel, meaning you're doing it in a way where you're actually ruining the barrel itself. The Tosfot has a question over here. He says even mekalkel should be asur, even though mekalkel is not asumra Torah, but it should be asumra Rabbanan. So he learns that we're talking about a special type of barrel that's called a mustaki. A mustaki is a barrel that was broken already and then was put back together. So on such a barrel that was broken once and then put back together, breaking it again, you know, with the sayif, if that's not considered a mekalkel, that's going to even be asumra Rabbanan. That'll be a mekalkel that'll be permissible. So that's the way Tosfot learns. The barrel here is a special barrel called the mustaki barrel. Whereas Rashi just says, no, it's tam a mekalkel. So how do we have to explain Rashi? So some want to say that since Rashi doesn't hold that there is binyan or stiran kelim, that's Rashi's opinion, and binyan v'stira bekelim, there's no such thing as bonen soter in vessels. So therefore he's lenient that a mekalkel by a vessel is no problem, because it's not shayach, the construction by a vessel or destruction by a vessel as well. In any event, the Mishnah continues. Mishnah says, Ve'en nokbin megufa shel habit, devere biyuda, vachamim atirim. Megufa shel habit would be the cover of the barrel that is attached to it on the top. So again, they want to make a hole in the cover in order to take out the contents. So here we have a mahloket between Hakamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to make the hole in the cover of the barrel, and the Hakamim say it is permissible. Their logic of Hakamim is it's not the derech to make a hole in the cover itself. If you want to get the goods out, just take off the cover. The fact that you're making a hole in the cover, that's not making it tikkun to the barrel. Therefore, he says it is permissible. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it is still forbidden. Comes the cross bottom line, you're making a opening. Comes the Gemara and Mishnah says, Velo yekobena misida. You're not allowed to make a hole in the barrel on its side. The Gemara will explain what that means. Vimaita nekuba. Now let's say there was a hole already in the barrel. Lo yitin alea sha'ava. You're not allowed to seal the hole with wax. Because you are smoothening out. When you put the wax on the hole, you have to smoothen out the wax, and that's an isur of memachek, which is by leather, they used to smoothen out the leather. So therefore, smoothing out the wax on the whole would also be asur. And that's what Rashi says. V'yeshkan mishum memahek. That would be the melacha, which is smoothing out. The Mishnah continues. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maaseh ba'alifnei Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai be'arav. There was a story that came in front of Yohanan ben Zakkai, who lived in Arav, and there was a fellow that actually smeared the wax on the barrel, and he said, "V'amar Hosheshani lo mehatat." I suspect that this fellow has transgressed a melacha that would be hayav hatat. It seems that Yohanan didn't know exactly if he smeared it enough to be hayav, but clearly Rabbi Yohanan holds that if he did it, he would be indeed hayav hatat b'shum of kosav memachaya. Comes to Gemara and says, "Amar Rav Hoshaya." Rav Hoshaya says, "Lo shena ela derosot." That which we said in the Mishnah, that you'll have to break open a barrel of figs, it's only talking about derosot, which is pressed figs, which means they're in a cake. They used to, you know, bunch a lot of figs together and put them in a cake. So then it's permissible to take the knife and bust open the barrel. Aval mefuradot. But if they are individual figs, lo. Now, what would be the understanding of this? So we're going to learn that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Nehemiah. Rabbi Nehemiah had a very strict interpretation of the laws of Mukseh. He held that a keli can only be moved for its designated purpose. For example, a spoon can only be moved on Shabbat in order to use it for eating or use it for mixing, but you can't use a spoon for anything else but its function itself. So therefore, and now Mishnah, how are they allowing you to pick up the knife? The main purpose of a knife is what? To cut food, not to bust open a barrel. So you have to say that it's talking about where the figs that were inside the barrel were in a cake. Now how do you break open the cake of figs? Use a knife. So once you're allowed to lift up the knife in order to open up the to cut open the figs, so then already that allows you to pick up the knife in the first place. Once you're holding the knife in your hand, you can use it to cut open the barrel. However, if they were individual figs, so then you would not be allowed to use a knife, because you don't need a knife to eat individual figs. So you wouldn't be able to pick up the knife in the first place, and therefore you wouldn't be able to even cut open the barrel. So again, the Gemara says, according to the Hamya, the case of the Mishnah is Davka, where it's a cake of figs, which allows you to pick up the knife, because that's the tzodik of the knife, then you can use it to cut open the barrel. However, if they're individual, no. So I read that inside again. Amar Boshia lo shena ela derosot. It's only talking about where they are pressed. Aval mefuradot lo. So the Gemara says, mefuradot lo. What do you mean? You're telling me that if they're individual, you wouldn't be able to open up the barrel? Maybe we have a question. A person is allowed to bring a barrel of wine, and is able to cut open the barrel with a spear or a sword, and give it in front of the guests on Shabbat, and doesn't have to worry. Now obviously you don't need, the purpose of a knife is that nothing to do with wine. You don't need a knife to drink wine. And still they're allowing you to pick up the knife in order to open up the barrel of wine. So therefore they should allow you to open up the barrel with the knife in order to take out the individual figs, even though you don't need the knife for the figs. So the Gemara says, no, ahi, Rabbanan. That's the, it's going according to the rabbi's opinion. The rabbis are lenient in the Mukseh. They let you hold a knife, not only for its function itself, for cutting food, but you can use a knife for any permissible function, even though it's not its primary function, and therefore it's permissible to open up the barrel of wine. But the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Nehemiah, who has his strict opinion. So the Gemara says, why does Rav Hoshaya establish our Mishnah according to Rav Nehemiah, and therefore needed to say that our Mishnah is only talking about pressed figs? What forced them to learn the Mishnah like that? Lukme b'mefuradot v'rabbanan. He could have established our Mishnah to sow an even individual figs like the rabbi. See, the Mishnah just says grogrot. So the Moshe Yad comes and says, oh, we're only talking about pressed figs because we're following Rav Nehemiah, and therefore the only way you can pick up the knife is because of the figs, then you could cut open the barrel with it. Why do you have to go so far? Just come along and say we're talking about any type of figs. even according to the shita of Hachamim, that allows you to pick up a knife, not only for its primary function, and therefore you have no problem. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba matnitin kashita, because the Mishnah was difficult according to Rabbi Shaya. Why? My iriya detani grogerot litni perot. Why did the Mishnah specifically choose figs? The Mishnah could have chosen anything in the barrel. The Mishnah just could have said perot. From the fact that the Mishnah went out of its way to choose figs, must be there is a chidush in figs. Elash ma'mina bedrosot. Therefore, we learned from the fact that it's saying figs must be telling you a chidush, meaning only a certain type of figs. What type? Figs. Pressed. Why? Because it's going like the hamya. That says the only way you can pick up the knife is to cut the figs. Therefore, you can use it to cut the barrel. However, if it wasn't, if it was individual, no. From the fact that it chose grogrot as opposed to perot, that's how Rav Hoshea knew to limit the interpretation to the Mishnah like that being the hamya. And the Gemara continues. Tanya Hada. We have one braita. Hotlot shel grogrot veshel temarim. What are hotlot? So that she tells us, kli shel kaput temarim, that's a basket made out of palm branches, ve'osin kimin salim, ve'notin tuchat temarim ra'im netbashel. So they put the unripened dates in these baskets, and what they would do was they would tie them up with the reeds. So it's like totally sealed in this basket. So the braita says, matir, you're allowed to untie the knots on these baskets in order to get the dates out. Umafkiya, or you're able to unravel them, meaning if they're not in the knot, you just need to unravel them. Vehotech, or you can actually take a knife and cut open the baskets in order to get out the contents. That is one braita. Vetanya idach, we have another braita that says, matir, aval lo mafkiya velo hotech. One of the other braita says, no, you could untie the knot, but you're not allowed to unravel it, nor are you allowed to actually cut it. So how do we reconcile the braita, the braitot, lakasha, harabanan, harabin hamya. Again, the opinion that says you're allowed to untie it, and you're allowed to also use a keli to unravel it, or to cut it, that would be going like the rabbis. That hold, you're allowed to use a keli, even not for its primary function. The opinion that says you can only untie it, but you can't use a keli to unravel or cut it open, that would be going like the hamya, that since the primary usage of a knife is not for cutting open knots, but it's used for cutting food, so therefore it's going to be forbidden. So that's what the Gemara says. The Tanya, because we have a braita. The hamya omer, afilu tarvad, even a ladle, it's a spoon, afilu talet, even a talet and a garment, afilu sakin, even a knife, again, it's only permissible to use for their designated function. The question was asked to Rav Sheshat. What's the question? So that she says, the mibraz means litchov, meaning you want to land, so you want to make a hole, beburtiya, that she says, beromach, that's a spear, litochabo bedofneha linkob, meaning you want to take a spear and you want to lance it into the side of the barrel in order to make a hole. So the Gemara wants, so is that permissible on Shabbat? What's the two sides? So the Gemara says, lefethaka mechaven ve'asir, do you say that the intention is to make a petah? If his intention is to make a opening, that's going to be asur, because that's he's finishing the barrel. He's constructing a hole. So that would be asur. Or dilma, la'ayin yafa kamechaven veshari. Or do we say that his intention only is for ayin yafa? What does ayin yafa mean? Now she says, la'arhib motze ayayin benekev gadol, which is he just wants to make a bigger hole in order to access the contents in a more easy way. If he really was intending to fix the barrel, to make a nice hole in it, he would have went and made a nice hole and fashioned it nicely. The fact that he just lances it on the side, it shows that he really doesn't have intention to make a petach. He just wants to get out the get out the contents. Ayin Yafan, a generous manner, but his intent is not to make the barrel nice by making a, you know, normal hola. Because if that was the case, he would, you know, fashion it on top and make it nice. That's a pantang way enhancing the barrel. Here it just seems he wants to get out the goods. So the question is it mutar or is it asud? So the Gemara says, Amar le lefetcha kamechaven v'asir. He says, I'm telling you, his intention is to make a petah, and therefore it's going to be asud. So comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a question. Right, we just learned this. It says, well, a person can bring a barrel of, actually it's a different item, we can bring a barrel of wine, umatiz rosha besayif. And you're able to cut the top of the barrel off with a sayif. So the question is, what do you mean? If you're allowed to cut the top of the barrel off with a sayif, so why can't you just lance the middle of the barrel also with a sayif? So the Gemara says, no. Hatam vaday la'ayin yafa kamechaven. For sure in Rashbag's case, it's definitely la'ayin yafa. He's not intending to make a petach. Why is it for sure? So that she says, because... which means here, if the guy wanted if the case of where he made the hole in the side of the barrel, that's going to be asur. Why is it going to be asur? We're not going to say he's doing it for ayin yafa. Why are we not going to say he's doing it ayin yafa? Because the Gemara was, if he was doing it for ayin yafa, so he says, im ital ayin yafa kamevgen liftuhem miftach. Rashi says, yitomi gufata. The guy could have just taken off the top off. The fact that he didn't take off the top, it must be what? That he's intending over here to make a new hole in the barrel. In the Rabban Shimon Gamliel's case over here, what the guy was doing, he could have taken off the barrel. What he did was he actually cut through the barrel itself, and therefore the Gemara wants to say that in Rashbai's case, when it says "Bivi Adam Chavit Shalyan Umatiz Rosha Besayif," that's for sure la'ayin yafa. Why? That she says, and I quote: "Rashi Hatam Vaday la'ayin yafa kavigent shemarhiv pia lematam megufata." Because there, the megufa, let's say, is on top. The megufa, let's say, has a certain width. He goes beneath the megufa, beneath the cover, and he slits underneath it to make a wider opening. There clearly his kavanah is what? To get the goods out more generously. However, in the case where he's making it on the side, if he just wanted to make a pit, he could have just taken off the cover. It would have been just as well. Ela must be wants to make a new petach, and that's going to be asur. So there's a difference between the case of lancing it on the side, that we're going to say is asur, because again, it's not such a big hole. Ela must be what? You want to make a new hole. It was considered isur. However, in the case of an apsheshbag, if you wanted to get the goods out, just take off the top. If you wanted to make the pit, I'll just take off the top. It must be when you cut into the barrel itself, you want to enhance the hole, and that would be permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, "En nokbim megufa." So we had a machloket in our Mishnah. Can you make a hole in the cover of the barrel? It was machloket actually between Rabbi Yehuda and Hakamim. Rabbi Yehuda said Asur and Hakamim said Mutar. Now we're going to see the details of this case. What are we talking about making a hole in the cover of the barrel? So Gemara Zamar Rav Huna, Mahloket Lema'la. The Mahloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Hakamim is only talking where you're making the hole on the top of the cover of the barrel. Which means, in that case, Hakamim said it's permissible. Because normally a person doesn't make a hole on the top. He usually makes a hole on the side. So therefore, the mahloket of making a hole in the barrel's cover is when? Lemala. When you're making it on top of the hole, on top of the cover. Aval minatzad. But if you make the hole on the side of the cover of the barrel, devrei kol asud. So everybody's going to say asud. Now, why do you do that? Because it's much better to make the hole on the side, that she says, because you don't want dirt or dust or sediment to fall into the barrel. When you make it on top, it's exposed now to things that can fall into it. But when you make it on the side, that's a nice petah. So everybody holds when you make it on the side of the cover, hayab, for making a petah. However, making it on top, there we have a machlok between Hachamim, that say mutan, and Biudah, that says asud. Now the Gemara says, v'hayru diktani lo yekobena mitzidah. Now you understand the next part of the Mishnah when it says, and you should not make a hole in its side.
meaning that's going according to everybody, meaning you should not make a hole in the side of the cover of the barrel. Meaning when you go back to our Mishnah, it said in the Mishnah, ve'lo yekobenu mitzida. That's very good. The last machloket was just talking about when you're making it on top. However, when you're putting it on the side, everybody will agree that that's considered a petach. That's the way Rav Huna learns our Mishnah. Rav Chisda amar machloket min hatzad. He says, no, the machloket in Rabbi Yehuda Hakim is actually when you're making the petach on the side of the cover of the barrel. Amal al gaba, devra kol mutar. But putting it on top, since that's not the data to make the hole of the on top of the barrel, everybody's going to say it is mutar. Oh, the hadik tani lo kavino mitzida. Oh, but what do you mean? It said in the Mishnah that you should not make the hole on the side. So what are you talking about? You just told me that according to that, that's actually the machloket. So what does it mean lo kavino mitzida? I should say that's a machloket. What do you mean? It sounds like according to everybody, you can't make it on the side. So the Gemara says hatam begufa dehabid. So he says that's actually talking about in the barrel itself. Like we just learned that you're not allowed to make a hole on the side of the barrel because that's already because you're doing for a petach. So in the side of the cover, we have a machloket if that's considered a petach or not. On the top, according to Rav Chisda, devrei hakol mutar. In the barrel itself, that you're doing to make an additional petach to the barrel besides the top, and therefore it's going to be asur according to everybody. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita in nukbim nekev hadash b'shabbat. It is asur to make a new hole into a vessel on Shabbat. However, if you want to come and add to the hole, I mean you have the hole already there and you just want to add to it, so that is considered permissible. And some say you cannot even add to a hole that is there already. Everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to make a hole that's old, calling it a nekev yashan, you're allowed to pierce it on Shabbat. What does this mean, Nashi? Nashi says nekev yashan, shenistam, which is, it was a hole that was plugged up. So it's considered nekev yashan. It's not a new hole, it's a hole that was plugged up. As she says, tichi chozeru poteyach, when you reopen it, lav ki oseh petachu. It's not like you're making a petach, shari asui v'omed. It's made already for that, v'stimato lav klum. Meaning the plug is nothing. And therefore when you take the plug out or you break it open, it's considered you just opened up a hole that was there already. So on a nekev yashan, everybody will say what? It is permissible. V'tanakama, so Tanakama, ma'ishena menekev hadash. Tanakama said what? That what? Nekev hadash is asur. Nekev, the yashan is mutar. So the Gemara says, ma'ishena menekev hadash, deloka metaken petcha. So the Gemara says, according to Tanakama, ma'ishena nekev hadash. Why, when you're making a new hole into the barrel, you tell me that it's asur, de law, meaning that it's asur, de kam mitaken petcha, because bottom line, you're making a hole, you're fixing a hole, osufen nameh kam mitaken petcha. Even when you're adding to the hole, you also be mitaken petcha, means you have a hole a certain size. By widening it, that should also be a tikkun, because now you took a hole that's a certain size and you added to it. So just like making a new hole is asur because of tikkun, so adding to a hole should also be asur. Why do the rabbis make a haluk between making a hole or adding to the hole? So comes the Gemara and says, Amaraba devar Torah, meaning from the Torah law, kol petach she'eno asui lehachnis ulhosi'i eno petach. We have a rule now. To be hayav on a petach, it has to be a type of opening that's made with intention for two ways, meaning to take things out and also to bring things in. That's a petach that's for lehotzi'i ulhachnis. That's the petach that's asur min haTorah. The guy's intent is for the whole. It's a two-way street. To bring things in and to bring things out is going to be asur. Now, v'rabbanan hu degazur mishum lul shel tarnegolim. And the rabbis came along and they said like this, even making a hole for one direction is going to be asur. Gezerah, that he might come to make the hole on the chicken coop. Now let's discuss the
Case of the chicken coop. The chicken coop is a tall, let's say, structure, comes to a narrow part on top. What they would do is, they would make a hole on top. What was the purpose of the hole? It was really two ways. In order to get the bad air in the chicken coop out, and in order to give some ventilation by bringing some fresh air in. So making a hole in a loose of tanegolim in a chicken coop would be asur min haTorah. However, the way the Tosfot explains this to us is, most people don't realize that the whole of the lush of tanegolim is two ways. They understand it that the main reason for the hole is to get the air to go out, so the chickens don't die, so they get the poisonous air that's in there to go out. So therefore, they come along and rationalize that a lush of tanegolim should be permissible on Shabbat. So the rabbis had to come along and say, even a one-direction hole is going to be forbidden in order to get them to not make the hole on the lul shel tanegolim. So let's get the history here. That's motziu machnis is asur min haTorah. A petah that only is going in one direction, mutar min haTorah, asur min haRabbanan. Why? Because we're concerned that they might come to make the opening of a chicken coop. Ah, what's the isur over there? Really, that's asur min haTorah. But we have to forbid it because the people only think that that's a one-direction hole, just to get the air out. Little do they know that's really purpose is for both directions. And therefore the rabbis had to assume one direction lest they come and make the hole in the lush of tanegolim, which is really going to be asur. Oh, so the Gemara comes along and says, three lines from the bottom. Because the purpose of the opening of a lusha tanegolim is to bring in air ulapuke habla and to take out the bad air. The imbale osif mosif. And you know why you'll have to be mosif on a hole? Because asufe vaday belusha tanegolim lo atel asufe. What's the gezerah? What are you worried about? Just to add to the hole. The hole is there already. So what are you worried about? Opening and coming in and going out. The hole's there already. Adding to a hole. So you'll tell me, yeah, because maybe if we allow him to add to the hole of a keli, maybe he'll come to add to the hole of a lul shel tanegolim. So look at the bottom rashi. The imbal osif mosif velo gazrina dema telus ve lul shel tanegolim delo mosif inish aleh. Because a person, once he has the opening of a lul shel tanegolim, he's not going to come and widen the hole, which means the hole of a lul shel tanegolim was really a small hole on top. We don't make a gezerah that, just like we said, you can't make a petah of one direction, because you might come to do it in the lul shel tanegolim. Why don't you say you can't be mosif, because you might come to mosif on the lul? We're not going to say that, you know what, because people don't do that. Why don't they do that? The Gemara says, mishum rihasha. What does rihasha mean? It says, shelo yeshitap nashi, shelo yekansu bo sheretz. Because if the hole is too big, so rodents and creatures are going to jump into the chicken coop and eat the chickens. That she says, "Kigon nemaya." Nemaya would be a rat. The chulda would be a weasel. Shemimitim eta tanegolim. They kill the chickens. So therefore, to make a hole, both directions, kavana asum natura. One direction, asum rabbanan, atu et lusha tanegolim. But leosif, why should leosif be asur? And it's got nothing to do with that you might come to be mosif on a lush of tanegolim, because a person does not do that. Therefore, it's going to be mutar v'yesh omrim and mosifim. And some say, you know what? You're not even allowed to be mosif on a lul, on a keli. Why? Zimnin delo tekne me'ikara ve'ate le'arvuche. Because we're concerned that maybe the hole originally, let's say in the lush of tanegolim, was not made nicely. So if you allow him to be mosif, what is he going to do? He's going to come and actually widen the hole, and that's going to be actually making the hole. Which is, let's say the hole originally wasn't big enough. So you tell the guy, well, you can be mosif. Oh, mosif? Beautiful. So now go to his lusha tanegolim, where it wasn't really a hole. He thinks he's being mosif. But it's really not, wasn't a hole to start off because it was too small. Now, by letting him be mosif, he's actually making a petah. That is going to be a problem. Now she says on the second line, "Zimnin de lo tikna meikara shee kedel leotzi haval al gista avir." He didn't make it big enough in order to be a two-way hole. And therefore, if you allow him to be mosif in a keli, he'll come to be mosif in a lul, and the mosif in a lul is going to be really asur, but not because he's actually fashioning a petah. So comes the Gemara and says, דרש רב נחמן משום רבי יוחנן הלכה כיש אומרים, הלכה פאוס ויש אומרים that not only is it asur to make a new petach in a keli on Shabbat, but it's also as well to be mosif on a petach. Veshavin, everybody agrees, shenugvim nekev yashan nechetahila. We learned that if the hole was there, meaning it was plugged up already, and now you're making the hole, meaning where the plug was, that's called nekev yashan. So that's considered mutar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela b'mkom ha'asui l'shamer. Now we discuss, where is this plug that you're telling me you could break it open on Shabbat? Anywhere on the barrel? No. Only if it's a plug in a place that's l'shamer. What does l'shamer mean? So Rashi tells us, in the third line, אלא במקום דסטימה זו לא נעשית אלא לשמור ריח היין. Which means certain spots of the a barrel, they seal it up obviously, in order to keep the smell and the aroma of the wine from staying in the barrel. שלא יצא ויתקלקל. וכיוון דלאו סטימה מעלייתה עבדלה, לאו כלומו. Such a plug doesn't have to be so tight. Because all you're doing is trying just not to, you're not doing it to keep the wine from falling out. Obviously, it's in a spot where you just don't want the air to go in, let's say. So it doesn't have to be such a tight plug. Therefore, taking it out on Shabbat or breaking it is not going to be an isur. Because it wasn't really a strong one to the from the beginning. However, Abal Lehazek, the Gemara says, asur. What is Lehazek? That she says she hazek akeli shlo yetsi, you know, if he's putting the plug in a place, or the plug was in a place in order to keep the wine from falling out. That's a strong seal. Ki hadan nakiv lo avi kipotea lo ki hadan nakiv le avi kipotea lechetachila. When you break that seal, that's like you're making a new hole. Because that is a strong hole, has a strong seal in there. So we make a difference on a nekev yashan. If the nekev yashan is an old plug that was there in L'shamer Mutar. That's considered not a strong seal over there. Therefore, it's considered open already. Therefore, when you're breaking it open, you're not making a new petah. But if it's L'hazek, then already it's a strong seal. Now you're making a new petah. So the Gemara says, where exactly, how do you judge? When you look at the barrel, how do you know if the plug is L'shamer or it's L'hazek? So the Gemara says, Hechi damer L'shamer, Hechi damer L'hazek. No, where in the barrel is the seal considered the shamir to keep the aroma from coming out, and where is it? The hazek. Amar of Chazda. Lema'ala min hayayin. If it's above the water line or above the wine line, so then it's the shamir. But obviously, because if it break it open, the wine's not coming out. That's obviously just to keep the aroma in. Lemata min hayayin. But if it's below the wine, zeu the hazek. It's obviously to strengthen the barrel or to keep the wine from falling out. So that's the way Rav Hizdal learns. However, Rav Kalduna says, Lemata minayayin nameh zeu leshamir. Even below the line of the wine, that's also considered leshamir. Oh, ve'echidami lehazek. So then where is lehazek? Kegon shenikba lemata minashimarim. Which means only on the bottom of the barrel, where, you know, the weight of the wine is all on the bottom by the sediment, there the plug is l'shamer. But on top, there it's not really, you know, there's no weight on top, therefore it's still l'shamer. So now Rava has a different interpretation. L'shamer can even be below the water line, as opposed to, Rav Chizdai says, no, once you're below the wine line, already that's l'hazek. And he holds Rava that on the bottom of the barrel that would be lehazek. Let's read the sheet together. Lemata meyayin nami leshameru kevan delav kovid hayayin nishan alav. Since the weight of the wine is not resting on that spot, sagile b'shtima kodehu. Therefore, the seal can be even minimal. Lemata meneshemari, meaning under where the sediment is, etzel shulav by the base. Shekol kovid hayayin nishan sham on the bottom. The weight of the wine is resting there, therefore it's going to be lehazek, therefore that type of seal is a solid seal, and therefore breaking it on Shabbat is going to be considered making a petah, as opposed to if it was leshamer. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Abaye le Rava. Abaye comes along and brings a proof to Rava. Tanya de Misaya lach.
we have a braita that actually supports what you are saying. Bayit satum, yesh lo arba amot, which literally means, let's get the words first. Bayit satum, which means a house that is sealed, you have four amot. Paratz et pitzimav, but if you broke its doorway, meaning the doorposts are broken, and the, let's say, the mashkof, the frame of it is broken, en lo dalid amot, you don't have four amot. What are we talking about over here, Rashi? Bayit satum yesh lo dalid amot. Kaimalam bebevatra. Hatzer, you have a courtyard. The courtyard has different residents living in it. Now we're discussing not a Shabbat law, but we're discussing a real estate law. What are the rights, property-wise, of all the dwellers to the courtyard in front of them? How much does each dweller own in the courtyard itself? So that she tells us, Hatzer mithaleket lefi petaheha. So the way you split up the rights of the chaser is according to the doors, which means each door has one share of the chaser. Lefi peta habatim apetuhim la, according to the doors that open up into the chaser. Imbau lehalek et chaser ben shnayim shehaya leze bayit shepetuchin lo lechaser shne petachim uleze bayit shepetuchin lo lechaser dalet petachim. You have one guy that has two doors opening up to the chaser, another guy's got four doors. Noten lechol petach arba amot bechaser. So for each door he gets four amot in the chaser neged petcho, in front of that door. Okay, so each door gives you four amot in front of it in the chaser. Okay, now as she continues, limidat rochat petcho. Okay, according to the width, so you measure the width of the doorpost and you go four amot out. Vashar cholkin b'shaveh, and then the rest of the chaser it's equal according to the resident. So the doors you get four amot out. After you finish that split, then the rest of the chaser you divide it equally according to the residents in the chaser. As she continues, v'im nistam echad mehem kodem halukat hachaser. But let's say one of the doors is sealed. The door is still there, but it's all closed up, that area. So the question is, do you count it to give him four amot in front? So that she says, v'lo peritz et pitzimav, you didn't break the doorpost. I mean, there is a door there. It's just it's all closed up. It's all sealed up. Ela satam ben shnei pitzimim, you just, let's say, filled it up with bricks, let's say, between the lintel and the doorpost. So it says, eno mafsid petcho bekach, you don't lose it. It's still considered a door. However, piratz et pitzimav, but if you took apart the entire frame, and you close it up, then already it's not considered a door. So the first deen is what? By the case of splitting up the chatzir. If the doorpost is there, you just filled it up, it's still considered a doorpost, the guy gets four amot in front of it. If you took apart the whole frame itself, then you don't even get the four amot in front of it. That area gets divided amongst the group of the chatzir. That's the first deen. Now we go back to the Gemara. Bayit satum. Again, you have a house. Let's get the words. You have the house that's closed up. Eno metameh kol sibibav. It does not have the ability to metameh. Now we're looking at the laws of tumah v'tara. Does not have the ability to metameh everything that is around it. Paratzit pesima. But if you broke the frame of the house, metameh kol sibibotav, then that's the bit of metameh everything that is around it. Let's read Rashi. This case, bayit satum vehamet betocho. Oh, you have a dead body in the house, so eno metameh sebibav, which means the tum'ah is remaining in the house itself. The door is like a barrier that the tum'ah will not go outside the house. So the tum'ah is only in the house itself. Rashi, paratz pesimav, but let's say the frame of that door of that house broke, the setmo, and now you sealed it up,
So now we don't consider the house a house anymore, because it doesn't have a door. It just has a sealed area. Now it turns into that she says, Na'asa kevir. Now that house is considered a big grave. And what? Now the law of the kevir is that it's not only metame in the kevir proper, but within 4 amot of the kevir, they're going to be tumah kedek amar besotah. We learned the masechet sotah, met tofes dalar amot the tumah. A met in a kevir, we give him 4 amot for tumah. Why? Gezerad rabban shem yahir velo yavin, because we don't want the fellow to come within, let's say, distance of the met and make an ohel over the coffin itself. An ohel is metame. So therefore, we don't even want a guy to not touch the coffin. We don't even want him to make a ohel over the coffin. So then what do we say? 4 amot. And once he's 4 amot away, he can never come to make a ohel on the mit. So this over here, the Gemara is saying, would be a Tanya de Mesaya, would be a proof for the opinion of Rabbah. So what is the proof that the Gemara is trying to bring to Rava? So let's review what Rava said. Rava said that what? Only when the seal is on the bottom, which is now, that is in the place where the wine is weighing down on the barrel, then that's considered a seal that's done lehazek, because that's in the strongest place where it's protecting the wine from coming out. That's considered a seal. Therefore, if you break it on Shabbat, even though it was there ready, it's considered making a new petah. Similarly, let's say we saw in the case of the mit, for example, where if you just sealed up the door, that's not considered a strong seal yet. And therefore, it's not considered a kevir, therefore outside will not be tameh from it. Only when you knock down the doorpost and you made a seal, you covered it up, then already that's considered, which means the seal has to be in the strongest fashion to be considered a seal. Comes the Gemara and continues, Gufta. What is Gufta? Now she says, Litkoa kane halul. You want to take a hollow reed, benekev a habit, and you want to stick it into the habit. It's almost like a spigot. You want to stick a reed into the barrel in order that the wine will come out. Is that permissible or not? Rav Asar Ushmoel Charet. So we have a machlok between Rav and Shmuel, if this is permissible or not. The Gemara is going to explain this machlok. Which means to actually cut the reed on Shabbat in order to measure it, meaning to make it, to fashion it, in order to fit it into the hole. For sure, that's asur, because you're making a keli. You cannot fashion and cut the reed on Shabbat. Now, ahadure, if you have the reed already, and all you want to do is just return it into the hole, the kula amalo peligi deshare. Everybody's going to hold in that case it is mutar. So where's the mahloket between Rav and Shmuel? Ki peliger. The mahloket is dehaticha velo metakena, which means you cut it, however, lo metakena, as she says, you didn't fix it. Meaning, lo nitna benekev vida im nimidatohi, which means you didn't cut it precisely yet to make sure that it fits. You cut it a little, but you didn't put it in yet to see exactly if it's the right size. Is that permissible on Shabbat? What's the mahloket? So give us a man de asar, which means Rav, that said asur, gazina dilma atel mehtak leketahila. He makes a gezerah, because you might end up coming to cut it leketahila to make it the right size in order to make sure it fits in the bag. That's going to be considered making a keli. So he makes a gezerah where you didn't fashion it precisely, is it either you might come to make a regular fitting spigot? And the Shmuel that says mutar, he says no. If you didn't make a perfect size of it, you just cut it, and you know you didn't actually fit it precisely. So therefore, it's mutar. We don't make a gezerah. So comes the Gemara and says ketanaeh. Actually, it is a machloket to name this machloket between Rav and Shmuel. In chotchim shifoferet biyom tov, you're not allowed to cut a shifoferet. Shifoferet would be, let's say, a tube. You cannot cut it on yom tov. The answer to the question goes without saying you can't do it on Shabbat. Now, obviously, we're talking about a tube that was also in a barrel. Now, nafla, if it came out of the barrel, mahazirin otov shabbat. Of course, you could put it back in because it was there already. The answer is yom tov. The Rabbi Yoshea mekel, and Rabbi Yoshea is lenient. Now, we don't know what he's lenient on. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshea ahia. Rabbi Yoshea, you're lenient on what are you lenient on? Ilima aresha. If you're lenient on the first case that said it's a sur to actually fashion and cut the straw, the tube, and Rabbi Yoshea is coming to say, no, you can actually cut the tube. How could that be? Hakametaken mana. Rabbi Yoshea cannot make keli. This is your figure making a keli. Ela asefa. Ela, you must be talking about where it came out, and Rabbi Yoshea is telling you you could put it back in. I don't need a voshaya for that. Tanakama name mishra kashari. Even Tanakama said it's mutar. If it fell out, to put it back in. Ela, you know what the voshaya is coming to be mekel on? The hatecha velo metakena. Which means where you cut it, but you didn't cut it yet, where you measured it to see if it fits the hole itself. So Tanakama is going to say in that case, asur. And the voshaya is going to say, mutar. That's exactly machloket tanaim of machloket of Rav and Shmuel. Our case was what? You have the spigot. Where you cut it, but you didn't make it perfect for the size. Therefore, we have machlok and avashua. It's the same machlok in Tanakama and Rabbi Yoshea. So the Gemara says, Ika benayu. Ika benayu. Mor sabar gazdinan, or mor sabar lo gazdinan. Which means, that's the nafkamina. The Tanakama says it's asur. Why? Because we make a gezera that you might come to make it perfect size and make it a keli where it fits. And the Rosh Hashanah says, no. If you cut it and you didn't measure it to see that it fits perfectly, we're not going to make a gezera that you might come to actually fashion it into a keli. Darash Rav Shishav Rav Idi Mishmei Rav Yohanan Halakha Kerebi Yoshia. Halakha follows Rav Yoshia, meaning if you didn't cut it precisely, it is permissible to put it into the barrel on Shabbat. So we said, if there was a hole in the barrel on Shabbat, you're not allowed to put wax on the barrel. Mishha, what about oil? Are you allowed to plug the hole with oil? I guess the oil is thick, so you put enough of it and it'll serve as a plug. The question is, do we say it's smoothing? Is it considered memarek? Rav Asar Ushmoel Shari. Machlok Rav Ushmoel. Man de asar, the one that says it's asur, meaning rav, gazdina mishum shava. He makes a gezera, oil to wax. Man de shari, lo gazdina. Okay, and the one that says mutar doesn't make a gezera. Amale rav, Shmuel, bar hanal, rav Yosef. Beferush amart lan, mishemed rav, mishcha shari. Says, what do you mean? You told us, beferush, explicitly, in the name of rav, that oil is permissible. Here we have a statement that says Rav is the Osef. But Rav Yosef, you told us that Rav holds oil is permissible to smear on the barrel. So Gemara says, Amar Tabut Rishba. Tabut was his name. Rishba, he was a trapper. Amar Shmuel. He said the name of Shmuel. Hai Tarfa de Asa Asur. What is tarfa de asa? So Rashi tells us, latet ale shel hadas. You're taking the leaf of the hadas branch, and you're placing it benekev achabit in the hole of the barrel. Sha'ale asui kemarzev. You're making the ale, you're shaping it like a marzev. Marzev is a gutter. Like the gutters you have on your roofs. So here what you're doing is, right, it's like a channel in order that the wine can flow out. So you're taking the hadas, and before you put it in, you bend it a little, and you stick it in the opening of the hole, and the wine is going to come out. Is that permissible on Shabbat or not? So the Gemara says, Hay tarfa de asa, this leaf of the asa, the hadas, asur. It's going to be asur. My tama, Rav Yemar medifti amal gezera meshum marzev. Gezera that you might actually make a regular gutter. Which means this really is permissible, but you might come to fashion a regular metal item and stick it into the barrel. So therefore we don't even want you to use a by the hadas. Rav Ashe amal gezera shema yiktom. He says, no, you know what we're worried about? You might come to pull off the leaves off the hadas. Now, what is the isud in that? So that she says, Shema yiktom, ha'ale min anaf. You might pull the leaves off the branch. Because now already, when it was part of the hadas, it wasn't a keli. Pulling it off now you're making it a keli. Now there's no isur of pulling hadasim off a hadas that's not attached to the ground. If the hadas is not attached to the ground, you can pull off the leaves. But in this case, when you're pulling it off in order to use it as a keli, so by pulling it off, now it's like you made a hadas which was not a keli. By pulling it off, you made the leaf into a keli. So that's the reason that this rabbi, Rav Asher, says. Might be nice. What's the difference between the reasonings? We can think about it ourselves. The first reason says what? It's a suit to put the merzev there because she might come to make a merzev. The second rabbi says, gezerah, that what? Because she might come to pull it off. So what's give us a practical nafka min opportunity to read? So the Gemara says, Ika benau, dekatim umanche. Let's say they are cut already, which means, if they are cut already, the katim umanche, what's going to be nafka mina? So we have to see, well, she doesn't tell us, but we can figure it out. If they're cut already, according to the first opinion, the gizra was what? That you might make a marzev. If you're going to make a marzev, so I don't care if there was, the issue was not that you're coming to cut them already. But according to the second opinion, the whole reason was what? We don't want you to cut it off the hadas because you're making a kid. But if it's cut already, you have no problem. Besadya. I'm going to discuss another case. That's she exactly. That's talking about Labadin. That she says, Shekorin Felterish. That's the felt quilts, let's say. Vasuin, as she says, the Kapelan Taktav, Bimkom Akaro Akeset. Actually, they would use the felt as a cushion they would place either under the pillow or under the. It's like a liner of felt that they would place under a pad. Exactly, it's a padding of felt. Exactly what it is, a padding of felt. Rav Asar Ushmoel Share. So Rav says it's Asur and Shmuel says it's Mutar. What are they talking about? So the question is, can you wear it in the public domain? Meaning, you want to transport your felt pad. So can you wrap yourself around it? Is it considered like a bigot? And therefore you can wear it into the shoot of the beam or not? So we have a machlok. The Rav says asur, and Shmuel says mutar. Berachin dechol ha'am alo peligi deshari. Let's narrow down the machlok. The soft felt, everybody says what? It's permissible. Why? Because it's wearable. Bekashin, on the hard felt, because it's not wearable, it's hard. So where's the mahloket? The mahloket is on the mediocre stuff. It's not so hard, it's not so soft, somewhere in the middle. Man de asar, the one that says it's asur, meaning rav, mehsi ke masui. Because it looks like what? You're carrying. Uman de shari lo mehsi ke masui. And Shmuel says mutar, doesn't look like a masui. So everybody holds really minat Torah should be mutar. The machlok is like a marit ayin over here. Right? According to the Rav, he says, marit ayin looks like you're carrying something. And the other rabbi says, no. Gemara says, wait. Vehad de Rav la befirush itmar. That which you said, the Rav says asur, you have to, he didn't say it explicitly. How do we know that the Rav said asur? Well, if he didn't say it, ela mechlala itmar. We just know it from an implication. And the Gemara is actually going to say that the implication is a wrong implication, and therefore Rav really holds also mutar. Now, what was the misunderstood implication? So the Gemara says, "Derav iklal lahu atra." Rav found himself in a certain place. Delo aval le Ravha. There was no space for him to sit. Okay, there was no room in the house. Nafak, so he went out. Yativ bekarmelit. So he sat on the floor in the Karmelit. Aitele besadya. So they brought for him besadya, this felt, in order for him to put it under him so he could sit on the felt. They carried it to him. What did Rav do? Lo yativ. Rav said, I'm not sitting on it. So what did they understand from that? Man de chazar savar, the ones that saw Rav thought Mishum de Besad Yasur. Must be all that this was transported illegally, because it's Shabbat, therefore I don't want to have Hanaf, they carried it for me, therefore they shouldn't have carried it. Obviously we were talking about the middle felt, not the hard ones or the soft ones. So from this story they assumed that Rav said Asur. The Gemara says, Velahi. That's not the reason why he said he did not want to use it. The Rab Achruzem Machriz Besanya Shari. As a matter of fact, Rab used to announce that Besanya is Mutar. Why didn't he take it? Umishum Kavod Ravotenu Lo Yashav Alav. But because of the Kavod of his students, which he calls his rabbis, he did not sit on it. Meaning, there wasn't enough space for them to sit either. So therefore, he didn't want to sit on the felt, and his colleagues not. So therefore, out of respect to Rabotenu, he didn't take the Besadya. So it was Uman Ninu. Who are these Rabotenu? Rav Kahana, the Rav Aseh. So that she tells us, actually, they were originally students of Rab, but then they elevated themselves to become Talmid Haver, which means they became equal, so to speak, and they elevated themselves to rabbi status.